it should be at least the work part of it to be really fast. So I'm going to go ahead and open a public hearing on House Bill 3622. We didn't have anyone signed up, and I don't really see anybody in the audience that probably wants to talk, so I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 3623. And Patrick, if you want to kind of brief us on what's going on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill we heard, it was yesterday, I think, and we at that time we heard that there were amendments coming to the bill. Those amendments are before you in the form of the Dash 1 amendments. They were suggested by Mr. Schellenberger of the Farm Bureau, and they were to address the requirement for listing township for application for farm vehicle registration, I believe is accurate. That it will be become part, it fits under the relating clause for this measure, and so in the interest of being the buddy bill, the proponents of the measure have asked that the committee adopt the Dash 1 amendments into the bill. I should mention the bottom of your staff measure summary says this bill has a subsequent approval to the committee on Ways and Means. We have had fiscal analysis done on the bill and the Dash 1 amendments. It will not have anything more than at most a minimal fiscal impact, so the Speaker's office has given us permission and requested that we remove the subsequent approval to the committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Patrick. So, do I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move we adopt House Bill 16.
What are the amendments?
3622-1 amendment, dated February 5th.
Thank you. So, Representative Gilman moves to adopt the House Bill 3622-1 amendments, dated February 5th. Any discussion? Seeing none. Any objections?
No.
Seeing none, the amendments are adopted. And
Madam Chair, I move that the 3622 as amended go to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Oh, and the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Representative Gilman has moved House Bill 3622 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Any discussion? Seeing none, any need for a roll call? Any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 3622 passes. Probably need someone to carry this bill.
Madam Chair, I'd be more than willing to carry this bill.
Oh, thank you. And I'll close the work session on House Bill 3622 and open a public hearing on House Bill 3623. And no one had signed up, and I don't see anyone in the audience, so I'll close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 3623.
Madam Chair?
Yep.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3623 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Reed has moved House Bill 3623 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, any objections? Seeing none. So I know that we're going to, it doesn't necessarily need to carry, but I'm sure that somebody wants to carry it. So I don't know if you want to talk. House Bill 3622 is passed.
I'm sure Ramona's watching.
And she'd be so proud of you. I know that this is an important bill for Representative Reed and Representative Crummell, so if you two want to figure out who carries
we'll,
it.
We'll talk. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right. And I close the work session on House Bill 3623. And we are going to move on to the informational hearing on federal transportation funding. So,
I'm sure you're not worn out after those two bills. Can we take a break?
I need a couple more because I didn't get much practice here.
Chair Byer, members of the committee, my name is Travis Brower. I am ODOT's Federal Affairs Advisor, and I am here today to talk about the topic of federal transportation funding, particularly federal highway funding, which is a topic that is beginning to heat up on Capitol Hill as we face some very serious long-term funding challenges on the federal highway program side. I'll start by providing a little bit of background about how the federal highway funding program works and how it impacts Oregon and ODOT. Virtually all of the federal government's investment in highways, transit, and safety programs comes from the Highway Trust Fund, which is a separate trust fund of the federal government, similar to the Social Security Trust Fund. It is funded through gas and diesel taxes primarily, which are levied on the motor fuels, as well as some other fees on heavy trucks. There are two components of the Highway Trust Fund. There's a highway account, which, as you can imagine, pays for highway projects and programs, as well as a mass transit account. And funding from the gas tax is split between these two accounts. The highway account of the Highway Trust Fund is what I'll focus on primarily today because it is the major source of funding for many of ODOT's programs, and it faces some pretty immediate fiscal problems that Congress will have to address in the near term. The highway account of the Highway Trust Fund annually invests nearly $500 million in Oregon's roads, bridges, and highways, primarily in the form of formula grants, which are provided to ODOT. These grants form the foundation of the state's statewide transportation improvement program and are a very significant portion of ODOT's capital construction budget. I should note also that these federal highway formula grants are also shared with local agencies, which get somewhere in the range of 20% to 25% of the federal highway formula funds that come to ODOT. Every 6 years, Congress sets the outline of the federal highway and transit program, collectively the surface transportation program, in a Surface Transportation Authorization Act. The legislation sets formulas that determine how much each state will get. And there are funding guarantees, I say quote-unquote funding guarantees, because they are guaranteed only in the sense that it is difficult for Congress not to meet them, but by no means impossible. Those funding guarantees are included in the legislation so that states can have a good idea, a reasonable expectation of what their federal funding will be over the future 4- and 6-year period, because we are required by federal law to set forth a 4-year construction program known as the Statewide Transportation Improvement Program. Without some certainty of what our federal revenues are going to be, it would be very difficult to put that program in place and to schedule construction projects that rely on federal funding. The most recent version of the Surface Transportation Authorization legislation was the Safe, Accountable, Flexible, Efficient Transportation Equity Act, a legacy for users, more commonly known as SAFETEALOO. This passed in 2005 after about a 2-year period in which the previous bill, T21, had expired. While SAFETEALOO was under consideration, many in Congress on both sides of the aisle, on both ends of the political spectrum, wanted to significantly increase funding for surface transportation programs. There was a recognition that the federal investment in highways and transit projects was not keeping up with the need across the nation. However, in order to provide a substantially increased investment, would have required an increase in the gas tax or the diesel tax or other user fees. In the end, after 2 years of debate, Congress and the White House were not able to reach any sort of agreement on raising the gas tax. And in the end, a compromise was reached that raised funding for surface transportation programs about 40% without providing really any additional revenue to fund that spending. As a result, spending over the course of SAFETEALOO was actually higher than the revenues coming into the Highway Trust Fund. They were able to do this because at the time the Highway Trust Fund had substantial balances in it. The highway account had about a $10 million balance, as you can see on the chart that is being passed out. Congress thought that they would be able to make it through the period of safety rule, which ends at the end of September of 2009, without running out of money in the highway or transit account. They basically, in that period, would bring the highway account down to a zero balance, and then in the next authorization bill would have to find a way to pay for the program other than simply relying on drawing down balances. As it turns out, they didn't quite make it all the way to the end of the bill. Due to the difficulties of estimating government receipts and outlays 6 years into the, or 4 years into the future, the estimates were incorrect, and it appears now that the Highway Trust Fund will run a shortfall of up to $5 billion in federal fiscal year 2009, which incidentally starts in less than 8 months. There are two primary reasons, other than just the sheer difficulty of estimating receipts into the future, for this miscalculation. The first is that people are driving less than expected as a result of sustained high fuel prices. There has not been an actual drop in the number of vehicle miles traveled, but the increase has been slower than expected. So the growth in revenue from the gas tax has been lower than expected, at least marginally. Secondly, fuel efficiency increases as a result of high gas prices are beginning to be seen. And so whereas the fuel efficiency of the American automobile fleet stayed essentially flat for years, in the last couple of years we've actually seen 2 to 3% increases in fuel efficiency across the fleet. As a result, as you can imagine, the amount of revenue we're getting per every mile that vehicles are traveling is being reduced. As a result, there are actually some estimates that show that over the next few years, the highway account will actually have declining revenue rather than growing slightly as they had projected in the past. I handed out this chart to show you the current situation of the highway account. I would add that this is actually about 6 months old. We recently got the updated estimates just on Monday of the fiscal situation of the Highway Trust Fund, but have not been able to go in and review those estimates and update things. This shows you that over the period since 2000, expenditures have exceeded receipts into the highway account in all but 2 years. And as a result, you can see that the large balances, which started out at over $20 billion in the highway account in 2000, have been slowly drawn down. And now in 2008, we are close to a zero balance. In 2009, we're projected to have about up to a $5 billion shortfall in that program. The highway account can't really run a deficit because it is segregated off from the general fund, and there are firewalls protecting it from the general fund. So that leaves Congress with really only two options. Congress will either have to cover the shortfall with additional resources or cut funding flowing to states and local agencies under the highway program in fiscal year 2009. If they do the latter, which I believe is unlikely, particularly in an economic downturn, the worst-case scenario could see Oregon losing over $200 million in federal funding that has been built into our capital construction programs. ODOT would absorb about three-quarters of that, or about $150 million, and local agencies would absorb the other $50 million. Again, I don't think that Congress will allow this magnitude of cut to go into effect, and I'll talk about what they're looking at doing in just a moment. As scary as the fiscal year 2009 shortfall may be, because it is so close, just 8 months away essentially before we're staring that in the face, this is really only a minor problem compared to the long-term problem we face. As I mentioned, spending is now substantially higher than revenue, and the highway accounts balances are nearly exhausted. So in the next reauthorization bill that Congress will take up next year, they will face a very stark choice in 2010 and beyond. They can either cut annual highway program funding by $6 billion or more from current levels, or they can raise user fees or other taxes to get enough revenue to cover their desired spending level. Just keeping funding at current levels would require a gas tax increase of about 4 cents per gallon, federal gas tax increase. If Congress chooses not to raise additional revenue to cover the shortfall, Oregon could see its annual federal funding in 2010 and beyond drop by up to $100 million per year. That would be about a 20% cut, as we're currently receiving close to $500 million in annual federal highway funding.
Madam Chair, may I ask a quick question? Thank you. I don't want to interrupt the flow here. It's fascinating. But when was the last time the gas tax was raised?
Chair Beyer, Representative Tomei, the federal gas tax was raised in 1993.
Tell me about how much gas was in those days. What I'm trying to get at is what proportion was the tax to the cost of gasoline at that time?
Chair Beyer, Representative Tomei, I don't know the cost of gas in 1993, but I can tell you it was substantially lower as a portion of the cost of a gallon of gas. I could try to find that information
That's
for
fine.
You.
That's great. Okay. Thanks so much,
Thank
Madam
you.
Chair.
Yes. Any other questions before we...
No, okay. Let the depressing.
Let's get it over with.
Just wanted to cheer you up at the end of the day.
Well, I'll move then into a slightly more optimistic discussion of what Congress is actually looking at doing on this topic. Congress has begun addressing this issue of the short-term shortfall in the Highway Trust Fund. It has now gotten on the congressional radar screen. It's an item on the congressional agenda. The Senate Finance Committee has passed a proposal by Senator Baucus and Senator Grassley, who are the chairman and ranking member of that committee, respectively, that would cover the fiscal year 2009 shortfall primarily by transferring general fund resources to the highway account. This would eliminate the looming cuts that we see on the horizon, but unfortunately, it would merely postpone the really tough choices into the next session of Congress when they'd have to address it in the next reauthorization bill. On the other hand, the administration released its proposed fiscal year 2009 budget on Monday, and that document proposed covering the shortfall next year by cutting highway program spending by $1.8 billion and having the mass transit account float a $3.2 billion loan to the highway account. Needless to say, Congress has not necessarily looked real favorably upon this proposal for two main reasons. The impact of this on the highway account would be to balloon a $6 billion deficit in 2010 into a $9 billion shortfall that would have to be repaid. In addition, several people have likened this proposal to robbing Peter to pay Paul, even though Peter is pretty much broke. The mass transit account is currently expected to have funding in it through 2012, and then it faces insolvency as well. If this loan were to go through and were not repaid in 2010, the mass transit account would be broke, and we would have to see transit spending cut very substantially. Congress is unlikely to adopt the administration's proposal. The Senate Budget Committee chair joked that, unlike previous budgets, this one was not dead on arrival. It was dead on departure, which sent a chuckle through much of Capitol Hill. But Congress will have to find a way to make up this 2009 problem, particularly as we are in the middle of an election year and an economic downturn. I can tell you there isn't a lot of appetite in Congress for seeing significant cuts to a program that is quite popular, like the highway program. At the same time, there isn't necessarily a great appetite for raising the gas tax in an election year. So there are certainly some difficult problems here. There are a number of people who are beginning to talk about some of the long-term financing issues. Congressman DeFazio, who chairs the Service Transportation Subcommittee in the House of Representatives, is one of them who has been talking about this issue and holding hearings. Congressman Blumenauer, who serves on the Ways and Means Committee in the House, which would actually have to approve any revenue increases, has been talking about Transportation and Infrastructure Financing as well. Senator Wyden and Senator Smith both serve on the Finance Committee in the Senate, and they're both well aware of this problem. So there are beginning to be some discussions in Congress. However, this has not become a front-burner issue yet, and I haven't exactly heard a lot of the presidential candidates talking about raising the gas tax either. So we will certainly have to wait until next year to see which direction this debate takes. However, there have been some interesting developments in the last few weeks. In Safety Loop, Congress chartered a National Surface Transportation Policy and Revenue Study Commission that was asked to look at the long-term needs of the highway and transit and rail systems and recommend financing options to pay for those needs. That group, the Blue Ribbon Commission, released its report about 2 weeks ago and recommended that Congress consider a 25 to 40 cent per gallon hike in the federal gas tax over the next 5 years. Needless to say, there are very few people jumping up and down at the prospect of carrying that particular proposal forward. But at the very least, it has sparked a debate on the future needs of the surface transportation system and how we might go about paying for them. One of the most interesting aspects of that report, at least from Oregon's perspective, was that the commission recommended that the nation move away from the gas tax as the primary means of financing the surface transportation programs, and they recommended as the most likely replacement a road user fee based on vehicle miles traveled that would be based on or very similar to the road user fee pilot program that was created by the legislature and undertaken by ODOT in recent years. They believe that by 2025 the nation could switch over to this particular type of revenue financing stream. And I actually just got an email from someone indicating that today the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee in Washington, D.C. held a hearing on the National Commission's report and that the road user fee pilot program was asked about by several of the members of the U.S. Senate. So there's certainly some interest in some of the things the legislature has authorized here in Oregon and that ODOT has undertaken. In conclusion, I would note that we're likely at a pivot point on the federal role in surface transportation. We, in the next few years, could either see a federal reinvestment in the system to meet the challenges of the 21st century, or we could see a disinvestment that would place additional strains on state and local resources. And so it will be very interesting to see the direction that the next administration, the next Congress, takes as they take up the surface transportation reauthorization bill next year.
Thank you. Questions, people?
It's a very, very thorough presentation, Madam Chair, and greatly appreciated. I'm glad that the Congress is looking at the road user fee possibility, and I hope that we will consider to push that along. I think that's the responsible thing to do. It's horrifying to think of the figures that you're talking about here are just, they're mind-blowing to consider. So no questions, just that comment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
We were thinking down here, Madam Chair, maybe we could figure out a way to charge royalties on that system since we're pioneers in Oregon.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
So one way or the other, there will be an increase. We're going to see an increase in the gas tax or something. Is that what we're hearing? It's just a matter of time.
Chair Beyer, Representative Vance, that will be the difficult choice that Congress faces. They will either have to increase the gas tax. They could increase other user fees, but the gas tax really is the primary means of financing our current program, or they will have to cut that program. And it will be interesting to see whether they view this program as important enough to merit a tax increase. I could not give you a prediction today which way they'll go.
Another question.
Yes.
So as far as an impact on our system here, do we have an idea of when that impact is going to occur? You may have said it, I just wasn't paying close enough attention.
Chair Beyer, Representative Vance, The impact is unlikely to be felt in 2009. I am reasonably confident that Congress will fill that short-term funding gap that we see on the horizon, the $5 billion in 2009. In 2010 and beyond, it's anybody's guess. And if that were the case, then we could see an impact as early as 2010. However, it's likely that any cuts in funding in 2010, we would not immediately need to cut projects that were going to construction. So the impact might be postponed at least slightly.
I guess this is not a question to you, but just a comment, I guess, to the committee. I was just talking with Robin earlier today about the Columbia River Crossing, which is at least a $4 billion project. And so it seems to me that we need to take this into consideration when we're looking at what's going to be happening. That's a big chunk of change, and at least a third of it, I guess, would be coming, is expected to come from the federal government. And if we're looking at this kind of shortfall, I would imagine that we will should take that into consideration when we're looking about that expense.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are there other innovative funding mechanisms that Congress is considering?
Chair Breyer, Representative Reed, there are a number of other interesting revenue ideas that are being bounced around, primarily on the rail and freight side of the equation. Currently, there really is no federal rail funding program. There are occasional grants made primarily for rail safety, but there is really nothing in the way of a national rail investment program that is analogous to what we have on the highway or transit side. So there are discussions underway of creating some sort of freight account, for example, of the Highway Trust Fund that could fund rail and other, perhaps, waterway navigation freight projects. One of those ideas is to put some of the customs fees that are generated by the increased trade volumes coming across the border, that those trade volumes cause an impact on our nation's transportation system, putting some of those fees into an account that would help pay for some of the necessary freight infrastructure. However, that would not necessarily help the highway system unless it was some of those fees were allowed to be used on highway projects. There are some other interesting discussions of using federal tax credit bonds. Senator Wyden, for example, has teamed up with Senator Thune of South Dakota to introduce the Build America Act, which would provide $50 billion in federal tax credit bonds for infrastructure projects across any mode nationwide. Those are bonds that, instead of having their principal repaid by some revenue stream, or actually have their principal repaid through tax credits to the individuals holding them. And so they're scored a little bit different from a budgetary standpoint, and thus may be more palatable than raising the gas tax in certain circumstances.
Did you say 50 or 50 billion or million?
That's correct, $50 billion nationwide, and each state would be guaranteed at least 1% of that. So Oregon, I believe it's a five-year program, would receive under that legislation about $500 million. However, the legislation has not yet moved out of committee, and it's not clear whether it will be considered seriously in the next round of reauthorization legislation.
Yes.
That would be a one-time program, though.
Correct.
Thank you.
So, I don't know if anyone else had a question. I know that we've been looking at that in the state's budget, and that there's a possibility of reduction of funds. And I guess maybe I just want to clarify if we have already included that in the cuts we were starting to look at, figuring out what I want to say, but I know we're the inflation cost, the reduction of income, and then this, is that part of what we're already looking at cutting?
Chair Breyer, we have not factored potential loss of federal funds into the budget cuts because there still is a very strong likelihood that Congress, through 2009, will provide those. Through 2010 and beyond, our projections have essentially shown flat federal revenues, and thus, if Congress were to cut funding substantially, that would necessitate some relooking at that projection.
All right. Well, seeing no other questions, thank you for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That's it for today, committee.
Thanks, Madam Chair.
And the fun continues tomorrow, we're going to have a discussion on weather.
On weather?
Weather, the weather impacts on...
Are we adjourned, Madam Chair?
We are now adjourned.